This meeting of the House Transportation Committee will now come to order. It is 1:03 p.m. on Thursday, February 26th in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Stutes, Representative G. Nelson, Representative McCabe, Representative Mina, Representative St. Clair, Co-Chair Representative Carrick, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Eichheit. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting, and thank you for that. Before we begin, I would like to thank Jordan Nicholson from House Records, as well as, it's not Doug Bridges, but our other assistant from the Juneau LIO for staffing the meeting today. Our committee aides are Meredith Trainer and staffer Griffin Sakale. Thank you all for the hard work you do to make this committee function. On today's agenda, we have House Bill 217, Autonomous Vehicles, and House Bill 303, Motor Vehicle Registration. We did receive two amendments to House Bill 217 and no amendments for House Bill 303. We also have someone from the Department of Administration on the line to speak to the fiscal notes if desired. That would be, I believe, Lauren Whiteside. So just note that we do have somebody that can assist on the fiscal notes if needed. We will begin today with House Bill 217, Autonomous Vehicles. And we did receive a couple amendments. Representative Mina, would you like to move your amendment first?
Thank you, Co-Chair Eichheit. I move amendment number one.
And object for discussion.
Thank you. I almost jumped in there. Yeah.
Well, I was going to let you.
Thank you. Rep. Mina, would you like to speak to your amendment? And just please note the numbering, because we have a reverse numbering, I believe.
Yes. Amendment number one, specifically Amendment 8.2, defines those little robots, which are actually called personal delivery devices in statute. Looking at the new definition that we're creating for autonomous vehicles, there's a little bit of ambiguity where I could see that these small devices could be considered as an autonomous vehicle. And as some members of this committee may have learned in previous legislatures, the definition of vehicle is pretty broad in statute. So even though there's not mass quantities or armies of these little sidewalk devices in different communities, I think it's helpful to have this definition in statute so that if they do come to little cities and municipalities, that they can defer to the state definition rather than having this mishmash of different ordinances and definitions. So we referred to other states that have defined these personal delivery devices in statute to create this definition, and that is what we are presenting. And it's just to ensure that this bill doesn't apply to those different little devices.
Thank you. Is there questions or discussion on Amendment 2? Representative McCabe?
Thanks. So this amendment seems awfully similar to another bill that we heard in transportation a couple years ago on e-bikes or something like that.
What's an e-bike?
Sorry, Ashley.
Co-Chair Carey.
If your e-bike only goes 10 miles an hour, you're just not doing it right.
E-bikes are the win. Representative St. Clair, did you have something? Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Representative
I'll remove my objection.
Okay. Any further objections to the MENA Amendment A2? Seeing none, Amendment A2 is adopted. We had another amendment. So I'd like to recognize Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move Amendment A1 or Amendment 2.
I'll object.
Okay. We have an objection for discussion purposes. Representative Nelson, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yeah, it kind of goes along with the idea of the First Amendment. But with this one specifically, I think this really clarifies the intent of the bill after speaking with the sponsor in the other house as well, that this really dials it into commercial vehicles, saying exactly what it'll be applied to, which is what our discussion all revolved around, which was essentially, big rigs going down the road hauling cargo or passenger vehicles over 16 passengers. So tour buses, things of that nature. It just really defines what it is outside of a because there's different definitions of registration in the state of Alaska, and this bill says that it only applies to vehicles registered in the state, and there's some leeway there on, you know, industrial vehicles, or if there were mining trucks, that autonomous mining trucks are a thing. They've been a thing for a long time, and so even if they're like parked alongside the road, they're required to be registered. And I think this really clarifies the actual intent of what the bill is going for.
Thank you. Are there any questions or discussion on this amendment? Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I would like to remove my objection, please.
Seeing no further objections, Amendment A1 is adopted. Excuse me, Amendment. I stand.
Correct.
Correct. So that was Amendment A1 from Representative Nelson. Okay, is there any further discussion on House Bill 217?
So,
Representative McCabe.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Is there anyone from the DOT online? Have we had any discussion with the DOT on this at all?
There's a person from DMV. DOT is not on.
Who is that?
That would be Lauren Whiteside, a division operation manager with DMV, located in Anchorage.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I have a number of questions for the DOT about things like enforcement, how they would determine who was at fault at an accident, how are they going to enforce the safety person, how they're even going to know if it's an autonomous vehicle. I have a whole series of questions that I think we should be asking DOT before, because I don't think we've really heard from them yet. And I mean, I mentioned that we probably ought to get the Division of Modernization and Innovation Office guy in here for questions, because there's some serious questions. Like, one of the questions is, can an autonomous vehicle determine you're coming up on a wreck or something, and there's a big truck here and there's a van full of kids here, and you're going to crash into one of them? You and I would make the determination to avoid the bus, right? Will the autonomous vehicle do that? So I was kind of curious if of some of those kinds of questions. Yeah. So I don't know if that's meaningful or. But I sure would like to get those questions answered before we leave or put this out of committee.
Yes, I appreciate that. Are there further questions or comments, Representative Stutes?
Thank you, Co-Chair. Since this is one of my best favorite committees that I don't chair, of course, maybe we could request Elon Musk to come and answer some of these questions.
Representative Carey, Co-Chair Carey.
Thank you. I just, through the co-chair, I just wanted to note that we had asked DOT to weigh in on the legislation and to be present. They were not available last week because they had representatives in D.C., and we asked someone from that specific office to come and join us, and they did not respond to us. And I don't know why.
Okay.
But I agree there are questions that would be good to ask Department of Transportation, and I'm pretty committed to asking a lot of the questions that you've brought up in future hearings of the bill.
Representative McCabe, just for your awareness, we do now have a DOT person online, Benjamin Glenn. He's the Emerging Tech Coordinator, and he's located in Fairbanks. So. Without objection, I'd like to put him online to answer some questions. So, Mr. Benjamin Glenn, can you please put yourself on the record, your affiliation, and then stand by for some questions?
Very good, and thank you all for the opportunity. My name is Benjamin Glenn. I am the Emerging Technologies Coordinator with the Department of Transportation out of the DMIO office.
Okay, Representative McCabe.
Thanks, and I appreciate you being here, Mr. Glenn. Hopefully the robo-dog in Fairbanks is doing wonderful. I have a series of questions that I've been thinking of over the last few days that I kind of typed in, and I'm wondering, so there's different levels. We talked about levels of automation earlier on when we were talking about these bills. Can you clarify which levels of this vehicle automation you think this bill would apply to?
Yes. So the bill's language specifically calls out conditional, high, and full driving automation. While that maybe is fairly intuitive, maybe to this committee, there are actually standards. There are 6 levels of vehicle automation from 0 to 5. Those are set forth in the SAE J3016, the Society of Automotive Engineers Taxonomy and Automation Levels. This bill seems to apply to 3, 4, and 5, as far as I can tell. But 3 is often very difficult to tell from 2. You'll start to see a lot of 2+ symbols in news. So it actually is slightly difficult, I would say.
Follow up.
So thanks. It sounds like we got the right person on the line. You seem to know a bit about this one, so I really appreciate you being here. So are there definitions within the bill that you may require some technical clarification during implementation with, should we pass this and if it comes to the DOT?
Yeah, so those levels is a big one. Another one would be around the definitions of ADAS and the human operator's ability to intervene or monitor. Also, the bill defines operational design domains, ODDs. But it doesn't really define what those limiting principles are or how an operator would know if they're exiting those. And then also, I believe there's a line about in the liability cascade that a modifier of the AV could be held liable. And that might need some clarification because aftermarket modifications are going to be a possibility with bringing non-autonomous vehicles into autonomous capabilities.
Follow up. Thanks. I think we've all been wondering, do we currently have any autonomous vehicles, level 4, level 5 in Alaska operating, whether it be not on the roads probably, obviously, but maybe down in the port area or on a private road or something?
I would say 4s and 5s. I'm mistaken. I'm supposed to say through the co-chair to Representative McCabe. Apologies. I would say that levels 4 and 5 are not known to be deployed anywhere. What we really see is Tesla's level 2s.
Huh. Okay. Follow up. Do you mind? I have a whole bunch of these.
I'm not keeping track.
Okay. Mr. Glenn, how would law enforcement determine whether a vehicle qualifies as an autonomous vehicle under this statute, do you think? Or how would the DOT, would it be a special license plate, or how would we do that?
Yeah, appreciate the question. And again, through the co-chair, Representative McCabe, it would actually be quite difficult potentially. I know this bill is perhaps more aimed towards commercial vehicles, but all autonomous vehicles, these are neural nets operating these things. Often it's software. People may not have bought the license to use the software. They may not have it actively turned on. So you'd have to rely on potentially operator statements, registration documentation. You could request post-incident data from the manufacturer after a crash. The bill just defines capability, not any external markers.
Follow up. Thanks. So, it kind of sounds like data with a neural net, right? I mean, how do you know if data is real or not, right? But that brings up sort of the next question is, how would we do a DMV inspector or a trooper, how would we verify compliance that the human safety operator requirement is being met or verified.
Yeah, appreciate the question again through the co-chair to Representative McCabe. We at DOT, I think that's maybe a bit out of our purview, but it is a good question. If you're just seeing a vehicle drive by with an operator sitting in the seat that has AV capabilities, they may or may not be engaged in AV driving, and it would be difficult. That's probably more of a trooper DPS DMV okay. question than MSCVC.
Follow up?
Yeah, and an additional one after this, and then I want to go to Representative okay. Mina. I can always come back.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, how does Mr. Glenn, how does this proposal interact with the federal motor vehicle safety regulations?
Yeah, again, appreciate the question. Through the co-chair to Representative McCabe. So the bill requires AV vehicles be registered with Alaska and that they meet federal motor vehicle safety standards. Those are in flux. Just for the committee's awareness, there is a federal bill moving through some of the House committees that will be updating NHTSA. So if you guys want to look up I believe it's Drive Safely or State Self-Drive Act is what's currently going through H.R. 7390.
Thank you.
Representative Mina.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I shy through the co-chair to Mr. Glenn. So my understanding is that in terms of enforcement, the bill only has one fiscal note from the DMV. So how does your office work with the DMV on what this bill is proposing, which is a new legal framework for autonomous vehicles? And has the DOT already started those discussions?
Yes, appreciate the question, Representative Mina. Through the co-chair to Representative Mina. Alaska DOT, out of my office, traditionally, several years ago, we had a connected and autonomous vehicles working group that had gathered stakeholders, including, I believe, folks at the DMV, the Department of Transportation, some of our municipality partners, the Alaska Trucking Association, I believe. They had a working group and a strategic plan that met several times. I do believe that group has not met since COVID, to be frank, but we do plan on standing that group back up and continuing to work with our partner agencies and stakeholders.
Thank you. Good to know.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Glenn, a question I had was, I don't think it's really defined here, but as far as the operator or the co-pilot, from your perspective, would they have to have the same qualifications as an actual driver going down the road, like a CDL? Would they have to have that license as well?
Yes, through the co-chair to Representative Nelson, I believe that was.
Yep.
My understanding and reading of the bill is that they would have to be licensed and meet the requirements to operate the vehicle, depending on the class of the vehicle, which... If the bill is focused on freight and commercial freight, that would mean a CDL. But if it creeps into other types of vehicles, it could require a driver's license. And one of the benefits of AVs potentially is that drivers who maybe no longer can operate vehicles or never could would not be able to then in this case.
Yeah, I see that now. I don't know how many times I've read this, but I see non-autonomous vehicles. So thank you for that. Kind of a follow-up question. Follow-up question to Rep. Mina's as well when it comes to basically like the DOT side of it, or do you anticipate any enforcement challenges, if this were to go through?
Is that for me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate the question. Co-chair to Representative Nelson. I am not in commercial vehicle enforcement with MSCVC. They would be interfacing with these vehicles quite a bit in that case. There would be some training and operational guidelines that would probably have to be put into place to bring them up to speed, and with the rapid change of these kinds of technologies, that would constantly have to be updated.
last follow-up.
Follow-up.
That rolls right into my third question, which is the rapid, like you, I can't remember your exact words, but the rapid pace at which these things are becoming more and more prevalent. What is the state of vehicles, you know, like this bill is going for in maybe the lower 48 or in other jurisdictions, I guess, like from your perspective, how soon are you already seeing these types of systems implemented?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, Representative Nelson, through co-chair to the representative. So nationwide, we're seeing private consumers. They primarily have access to level two driver assistance systems, so I think Tesla's. Those require human supervision, even in instances of level three. The human is still the fallback. Level fours nationally, we see those primarily with, the robo-taxi services, Waymo, Zoops, CyberCab, and level fives are broadly not deployed. Level four and three freight vehicles, you'll see those through deployments like Aurora Trucking, Kodiak, and I think Gatik. That do have limited deployments. It is a case by case, state by state, and deployment by deployment basis. But it has rapidly advanced since 2022.
Representative McCabe.
Yeah, thanks. So I just have a couple more. I mean, I could probably ask them together. Do you think, since you're kind of in this world right now, do you think this bill creates any barriers to innovation in Alaska? And would it be worth, I mean, maybe there's a technical advisory group, or maybe we should establish one for, I mean, if this is coming like a freight train at us, maybe we need to know what we don't know.
Appreciate the question through the co-chair, Representative McCabe. You asked if it creates barriers to innovation. I will say potentially that there are concerning implications. The stance that we take at the DOT is that we want to keep Alaska open for business. So with driverless commercial vehicle operations, this being conditioned on like interstate commerce, There are some complicating factors that I think we would be concerned about. One thing I would like to raise for the group just for awareness is that I do attend the National Cooperative Highway Research Program, peer exchanges. I sit on the Connected Vehicle Pool Fund Study. We go to ITS America conferences. Quite a number of this outreach and networking that happens across public sector agencies, academia, industry. I will say many of those efforts have led to me being able to present the text of the bill to counterparts, and I won't use the negative shorthand that they often use, but I will say that this bill and its language is widely broadly recognized.
So follow up. Thanks. Yeah. So widely, broadly recognized, and don't forget the task force. Do we need to? Should we establish an Alaska Innovation Task Force, or maybe you already have one at DOT?
Appreciate the reminder, again, through the co-chair to Representative McCabe. I think with our efforts to stand back up the working group and bring in partners and stakeholders, we could probably house that task force in that group.
Thanks.
Further questions? Co-chair Carrick.
Through the co-chair, I just wanted to note that we don't have fiscal notes on this legislation. We have zero fiscal note, rather. And we generally, I'm really appreciative that Mr. Glenn is able to join us. I really appreciate something that you just said, which is that the categories here are widely, broadly recognized. And one of the things I've learned from working on the e-bikes bill for a long time is If I were to reintroduce the bill tomorrow, I don't know if it would look exactly the same as the bill that was passed, because what we used in that legislation was category standards that are nationally recognized in the e-bike industry, but maybe aren't, they might be too specific actually for practical application in statute. And some other states are running into this with e-bikes, and since I know about that, I can speak to that issue. But they're running into this with e-bikes because Class 2 bikes have expanded very widely beyond what they initially were. And so I'm wondering if, Mr. Glenn, if you could tell us, you know, I know we compared some of those category levels to what's in this legislation. I guess on a even broader picture, does the language in this legislation make sense to potentially capture what we could see in autonomous vehicle innovation, since you know a lot more about autonomous vehicle innovation than I do? Does it potentially capture where the industry is going? And if that doesn't make sense, let me know.
I appreciate the question to the co-chair. Through the co-chair, the levels in the bill, generally I would say they are recognized perhaps by industry professionals, but they are somewhat vague, I would say, outside of that. The standards and industry, and we're starting to see now in other states, similar bills do usually pretty explicitly reference the level of autonomy standards 0 through 5. There are 26 states that have AV legislature on the books now, 11 of them who have seen very nearly this bill, and they've been seeing them over the last about 10 years, I believe, and most of them have gone back and added clarification on these.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Representative McCabe.
Thanks. So one more thing, Mr. Glenn, and I appreciate the co-chair's indulgence in allowing me all the questions to ask. But so you said you presented this bill to folks at different technical sessions. What was, you know, obviously some of the 26 states that you just mentioned, what was their opinion? Is this bill going to limit our abilities to move forward as the market sort of outpaces us?
Appreciate the question through the co-chair, to Representative McCabe. I'm going to maintain that I don't believe that we have an official opinion on the bill. We want to keep Alaska open for business, but the anecdote that I was sharing was that, yeah, in the numerous times that I've shared the bill, it is known to potentially cause problems in the language that it existed as I shared it. Last year, or after it was originally released. It is recognized.
Thanks.
Any further questions for Mr. Glenn? Yes, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. You just had mentioned that there were several instances where clarifications basically had to be issued or rewritten back into statute. What types of clarifications, as you've been, you know, following this issue, what are some of the clarifications that other legislators had to go back and insert?
I appreciate the opportunity for that. Through the co-chair, to Representative Nelson, a lot of states have instituted requirements on data sharing around incidents and crashes. They have, I think almost universally, there are no requirements for human operators. The industry tends to do that out of an abundance of caution on their own side, at least during initial deployments. There usually needs to be clarification around the levels of autonomy. If bills used these three text-based definitions rather than tying them more explicitly to the SAE standard levels. As well, liability. Liability is quite complicated with these, when the systems are activated or not, and I think many states have not explicitly develop a liability kind of hierarchy or cascade as we have here. I think they tend to rely on their tort law. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't speak to that clearly. But I will also mention the federal legislature bill is worth reading. There's some explicit state preemption language in there that might be relevant to this.
Mr. Glenn, what was that bill number again?
For the federal bill, it's, yes, 7390, H.R. 7390.
Thank you, Representative St. Clair.
It's currently... Oh, that's right.
Thank you. Through the chair. Mr. Glenn, is there a state that has a policy or a bill that is kind of leading the edge? Since this appears to be problematic, is there another state that's implemented legislation that seems to work, seems to fit, is not really requiring a whole lot of revision?
Appreciate the question through the co-chair to, I believe that was Representative Sinclair. I would look to states, Texas, Florida, California, Ohio, perhaps Michigan, are at the leading edge of this. They've been working with AV partners for over a decade.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Glenn? Okay, thank you, Mr. Glenn. Appreciate you being here. We're going to take a brief at ease.
House Transportation is back on the record. We just had our co-chair needed to step out there. We are going to, it sounds like there's some committee agreement to hold House Bill 217. We did have an amendment deadline that was posted. We're going to reopen that amendment deadline. We will set it and close it at a later date. I think for now, that sounds like the plan going forward. Is there additional discussion on House Bill 217 today? Representative Mina.
Thank you, Co-Chair Carrick. I'm a little bit interested in that federal legislation because it sounds like it hasn't passed yet, but it would just be good to know that context about what are the potential preemption aspects that could impact this bill, and I just don't know what that is.
Representative McCabe.
Thanks. Yeah, and I wouldn't mind talking to, I don't know, Ledge Legal might not be the right people, but talk to some legal authority on the question of if automation causes an accident and it has a safety operator on board, who's liable? Mm-hmm. I mean, who could you sue the truck, or do you have to sue the operator?
I know I wouldn't want to sue the truck. Yes, these are really good questions, and I really appreciate Mr. Glenn being available today. I think you really added a lot to this discussion. And if there's no further discussion today, we will set House Bill 217 aside. The last thing I would say on that bill is the legislation is currently limited in scope around commercial vehicles. I would just ask members to keep that in mind when thinking about how to draft amendments to what the bill's scope is, as opposed to opening up a whole larger conversation on autonomous vehicles. that might be additional committee legislation, but I think it's the desire of the co-chairs to try to keep this bill relatively narrowly focused on the commercial vehicle aspect. But that said, we will go ahead and set it aside for today. And next up, we have House Bill 303. We had set an amendment deadline for this legislation from Representative St. Clair on vehicle title, and we received no amendments. And does the sponsor have wrap-up comments on the legislation?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is simple, common-sense legislation. I mean, it's just bringing us on par with the feds and most other states with a 25-year rolling average. Support the bill.
Is there any final discussion on this bill? Representative McCabe?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Okay. I just call on you.
I wasn't even going to say anything about e-bikes.
Oh, gee, I hope I don't need an exemption for my imported e-bike. Anyway. Okay, so seeing no further discussion and missing my co-chair, I'm going to pass the motion all the way over across the table.
Madam Co-Chair, I move House Bill 303, Work Order 34-LS-1468/A with attached zero fiscal notes be moved out of House Transportation Committee.
And hearing and seeing no objection, House Bill 303 will be moved from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note. We will sign the paperwork before we leave today, so please don't forget to do that. That was the final item on today's agenda. If committee members, again, could stay to sign the report. Next week in House Transportation, we have Tech Week. So on Tuesday, March 3rd, here at 1:30 p.m., note the time change, we do have DOT subcommittee close out at 12:30 that day. And at 1:30, we'll resume our regular committee hearing following the House Finance Subcommittee closeout meeting. We will be hearing from the Alaska Center for Unmanned Aircraft System Integration, or AQUASI, the future of drone implementation and innovation in Alaska. And on Thursday next week, we will be hearing from the Department of Transportation on technology and the future of innovation at Department of Transportation. Should be a pretty interesting week.
Are we going to bring the robo-dog again?
That was pretty cool.
It was cool.
We can make that request. We'll see if it's available. With no further business before House Transportation, we are adjourned at 1:41 p.m.